This morning, in my call to worship, I read from Genesis. If you have your Bibles with you, I want you to turn, actually, I don't want you to turn there, I want you to turn to Deuteronomy. And I'm just going to read this. Deuteronomy chapter 12 is where we'll be most of today. But I wanted to continue on with the Genesis thing I read, so just listen as you turn to Deuteronomy chapter 12. Etched into the glass doors of London, St. Paul's Cathedral, are these words from the book of Genesis. Chapter 28, verse 16 and 17. And it says on St. Paul's Cathedral, "Surely the Lord is in this place. This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." What a powerful thing to see as you're walking into that magnificent structure of St. Paul's Cathedral. And so they have that, and it's a beautiful masterpiece of architecture done several hundred years ago, 300 or 400 years ago. And then someone preached a sermon there. It's been a little while back. He said, there is a difference between a great piece of architecture and the house of God. Amen? There's a big difference. And that difference depends on what one does in it. For the house of God is not passive. When we worship, we want to participate in that. And Kisha sent me a thing a while back about worship. And I was very interested in reading that and what it had to say. We're up here playing music and singing, but we are not performing for you. Okay? I want you guys to be clear. We're not performing for you. I don't know that we're necessarily performing for anyone, but we're just praising and worshiping God. We did a song a couple weeks ago, and I told Ann, I said, that was so powerful, I could barely stand. I had to sit back on my stool, and I could barely play. It just sent shivers down my spine. When we sang, "You pour out all your blood. You poured out all your blood." And it was powerful. She said, "Me too." And I have moments like that when I'm doing worship and I'm worshiping God and I just get lost. And sometimes I just stop playing. It's not a passive thing that we worship. It's not a passive thing in the house of God. It's something we all participate in. And I know sometimes we do songs that you guys are unfamiliar with. And I know that. But just try to worship God in the presence, in His presence, even if you close your eyes and, "God, man, what do you have in this song?" Just like Bible studies, cell groups, books of the Bible, sometimes we get those more than others. Songs, sometimes we get more than others. I enjoy that first song we played today. Just that little stinger at the end with the drums. I just love that. And then "How Great Thou Art." Whew! I think about my grandparents and my parents. And some of you think about those things. I think about the old church where I grew up and just hearing those sounds. Then we have this crazy, loud, cranking last song we sang. And I love it because it's so powerful. And it talks about, it reminds me of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is moving. And JC, a lot of times you say, "Man, the Holy Spirit is messy." Yes, sometimes he's messy. And sometimes those songs are messy. But each person gets those differently. We're going to look a little bit about the Holy Spirit and just the work of God. We want to do those things. Jan Murray has been doing Bible study the last couple of weeks. And she said, as we closed Wednesday night, "Do not get caught sleeping when Jesus returns." Many of us have just gone to sleep. Or we've gotten that habit of snooze, snooze, snooze. We're hitting our spiritual snooze button. Don't be late. Don't be late. We've got to understand our Bible. We have to be familiar with our Bible, what God's promises in it, our inheritance, our defenses against the enemy, our responsibilities. And if we don't get in the Word and we keep hitting the snooze button, or worse yet, just going to sleep, we can't learn those things. Helen said several weeks ago, she preached and brought the message, "Come to church expecting something great to happen from God." Amen? Let's expect something. I can tell you from being in the worship team, we've done music before with Kisha, with Anna, with Kayla, with all those. And we thought, "I don't know about that." And lo and behold, God showed up anyway. And He made a miracle happen out of what we were trying to do by ourselves. Come expecting something great to happen. And we get hung up on the praise and worship, sometimes we get hung up, the lights again. I remember Pastor Jack said, man, it's too hot, it's too cold, it's too light, it's too dark, it's too loud, it's too quiet. Too many drums, not enough drums. It goes both ways. But God tells us we are all responsible for our own actions and our own relationship with Him. Next Wednesday, this coming Wednesday, in a couple more days, Bible study right here, 7 o'clock. I'll be covering for several weeks the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah talks a lot about our individual responsibility and then how that ties in to all those around us. You see, we're responsible for our own actions, but as we do our actions, they affect all those around us. But sometimes we have to tune those distractions out. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 1. These are the statutes and judgments which you shall be careful to observe in the land which the Lord God of your fathers is giving you to possess. All the days that you live on earth, you shall utterly destroy all the places where the nations which you shall dispossess serve their gods. On the high mountains and on the high hills, and under every green tree, and you shall destroy their altars. You shall break their sacred pillars and burn their wooden images with fire. You shall cut down the carved images of their gods and destroy their names from that place. You shall not worship the Lord your God with such things. Today may get a little uncomfortable for some of us, myself included, as we look at what God tells us. And it always gets uncomfortable when God's saying, by the way, you're doing this, I need you to stop. You're doing this, I need you to stop. By the way, you're thinking about this, don't do it. I talked in our Bible study a couple weeks ago. I've cleaned out the closet. It's been a long time coming. Just my side. There are a lot of clothes I hung on to. They just don't quite fit anymore. And I told Jan that it reminds me of when we put on the new man. I've put on a new man. I'm not saying it's a healthy man, but I put on a new man. I'm aware of that. But we keep going back and picking up our old stuff. It's quite a pile of old clothes I tossed out. Some of them fairly new. And I have a shirt I got. I thought, this looks great. Got it home and I thought, it doesn't have any buttons on it. There's no buttons. Yes, it's a tuxedo type shirt, but it was really cool. I thought, I'll take it. Great deal. There's no buttons. I can't button it up. It's a dress shirt. I don't have the tuxedo buttons to snap in there and do that, nor the patience to do it. Be careful when things look good and tempting. Our young people are scattered all about kind of today. They were here, they're all over here. Be careful, young people, when things look great and you think it's all right, you do it and it's not quite what you thought, right? My parents, they don't know anything. Yeah, they've been there, done that. That's why we warn you, because we've been there and done that. Look for buttons. My point being, we get things saying, hey, this is going to be great. My friend asked me to do this. This will be great. Uh-oh, I'm in trouble. Little incident at the Dilly House a while back. Thinking, this sounds like a great idea. Uh-oh. Nothing good happens at night in the dark, okay? Outside in a sleepover. But it sounded like a great idea, and it was harmless. But it was wrong. Not bad wrong, just wrong. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. These guys are supposed to be commanded to God, go tear these down, cut them down, burn them. You shall not worship the Lord your God with such things. Let's read on verse 5 through 7. It says, but, got to listen up when God says, but. But you shall seek the place where the Lord your God chooses out of all your tribes to put His name for His dwelling place. And there you shall go. There you shall take your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, the heave offering of your hands, your vowed offerings, your free will offerings, and the firstborn of your herds and flocks. He's telling them, when I give you a place to worship, and for you right now, that's prayer of faith. When God says, this is your place, even if you want to leave, you have to talk to God about that. Because He says, don't go where you want to go. And don't worship in this way, but worship this way. And you go to the place that I told you to go to. But my husband doesn't like, but my wife doesn't like, but my children don't like, but my parents don't like. Go to the place where I tell you. And then when you get there, He tells us what to bring. I know the first thing you're thinking is He's going to tell us to bring money. That's just in the mix of that. Bring your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, heave offering of your hand, your vowed offerings, your free will offerings, and the firstborn of your herds and flocks. And He tells them what to bring. He's telling us what to bring into His house as well. And there you shall eat before the Lord your God, and you shall rejoice in all to which you have put your hand, you and your households, plural, in which the Lord your God has blessed you. Rejoice. This is a community issue. It's a community effort. When we get together for the anniversary dinner, Memorial Day, Easter, those type of activities, when we get together, we're to rejoice together as a community of believers. Coming together, celebrating all that God has done for all of us. However, you got to watch out for the but God, or but you shall do this. That sounds great. So God says, go to the place that I tell you and that I give you. Israel is on the verge of a great happening. Well, what are they going to do? Well, they're preparing to enter the promised land, right? They're preparing to enter the promised land. They're about to conquer all the inhabitants of that. God says, go forth. I'm going to help you. I'm going with you. And they're about to establish a brand new culture. God says, I'm going with you. I'm going there. Just go and do as I say. I'm going there. Remember leading into Easter, we went through the book of John. All these people looking for the Savior. They're looking for their master. I'm looking for the Lord. And Jesus met people, said, hey, stop looking. Here I am. You found me. And I said, sometimes we do the same thing. We're looking, God, where are you? God, where are you? And God says, man, would you stop looking? I'm right here. I'm right here. And by the way, I'm working through Andrew Bellflower. By the way, I'm right here. I'm working through Mark Caldwell. I'm right here. I'm working through Donnie Cobalt. And then Jesus says, by the way, when you met me, how did you treat me? How did you treat Andrew or Mark or Donnie? See, that was me and them. He's about to establish a brand new culture. They would do this by focusing on the living God. They've been through quite a journey. They're going to the promised land. The new culture, they would be focusing on the living God. They would reflect His nature by loving and worshiping Him alone. God said, man, my people, I want you to resist evil. Yes, God, we are behind you. Let's go. Take us to the promised land. But He wanted them to reflect His true nature. Well, what nature is that? His loving and compassionate nature, helping strangers, helping widows, helping the poor, the orphans. In the promised land, He said, man, I'm going to go with you. I'm going to bless you abundantly. I am going to bless you abundantly. Oh, by the way, I expect you to live responsibly. Will you take care of those people I ask you to? Would you be kind to one another? He's going to bless the Israelites in the new promised land. They just have to act right. By the way, join me this Wednesday as we look at Nehemiah and let's see how that worked out. So he tells them what to do and what not to do up to this point. Verse 4, you shall not worship the Lord your God with such things, these idols and these trees they were celebrating. Here's a green tree. The Lord obviously has blessed this tree abundantly. We will bless this tree and we will worship here under this tree. Seek a place where the Lord your God chooses and you shall go there. Seek a place where the Lord your God chooses. You guys got to be careful. There's a lot of churches are pulling for different things. I was appalled this past week when I heard of a church here in town. One of their cell groups went from 8 to 40-some people. Just blew up. What do you mean they're having sexual encounters in this group? What do you mean they're all getting drunk? What do you mean that this is a cell group at a church? Something's amiss there. Something is amiss there. You've got to watch as these churches pull us for different things. By the way, the Bible tells us, watch out for those false teachers, by the way. And how do you know a false teacher? Because a lot of them are going to show up as little sheep. Okay? They're going to show up as a sheep, but they're really a wolf. Oh, okay. They're a wolf in sheep's clothing, and they're going to show up and try and teach us things. We can always know those things when we put those against the Word of God, and we test those against the Word of God every time. Because this is true. Now let's go on down verse 8 through 14. This is a scary, uncomfortable part sometimes. It says, you shall not at all do as we are doing here today. Uh-oh. I need you to do this, is this. By the way, stop doing what you're doing here today, God tells them. Every man doing whatever is right in his own eyes. That's the first scary line. You shall not do at all what we are doing here today. Every man doing what is right in his own mind or in his own eyes. For as yet you have not come to the rest and inheritance which the Lord your God is giving you. They haven't come to that yet. But when you cross over the Jordan, verse 10, but when you cross over the Jordan and dwell in the land which the Lord your God is giving you to inherit, and He gives you rest from all your enemies round about, so that you dwell in safety. Then there will be the place where the Lord your God chooses to make His name abide or live in you. Did you catch that? We have to get where God wants us to be before He'll give us those things. When you cross over, He'll give you rest. You will dwell in safety. All these great things going on. Then there will be the place where the Lord your God chooses to make His name abide or live in you. There you shall bring all that I command you, your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, your heave offering of your hands, your free will offerings, your choice offerings, which you vow to the Lord. And then it says in verse 12, and you shall rejoice before the Lord your God, you and your sons and your daughters, your male and female servants, and the Levite who is within your gates, since he has no portion nor inheritance with you. You shall rejoice before the Lord. When we come into His presence, we should be thankful of that alone. But come in and rejoice. Take heed to yourself that you do not offer your burnt offerings in every place that you see. but in the place which your Lord chooses. In one of your tribes there you shall offer your burnt offerings, and there you shall do all that I command you." I want to go back to verse 13. "Take heed to yourself that you do not offer your burnt offerings in every place that you see." We've got to be honest with each other, church. We have to be safe with each other. And we've got struggles. And the Holy Spirit has been doing some amazing things over the last couple weeks moving in this place. And just like our music, some people understand that, some people love that, and other people are like, I don't know about all that. It looks a little scary, it's unfamiliar to me. And we can't forget them. We have to remember to reflect God's loving and compassionate true nature. And the Holy Spirit is always welcome in this place. Always welcome in this place. And those are beautiful things when the Holy Spirit is moving. But let's not forget the person sitting over here by themselves that just isn't comfortable with that or doesn't know what to do. But they're thinking, man, I still need some help. You see, I've got a problem with alcohol. Not me. I'm saying that. Person may be saying that. You see, I've got a problem with anger. Oh, by the way, I have a drug addiction also. You know, and Adam, when I drive down the highway, I'm having some financial trouble. When I get 20 bucks, I head to the casino. And I struggle with that. Oh, and by the way, my relationship with my spouse is falling apart. But I don't know what they're doing over there. I just wish someone would come pray for me. We can't forget those people. And by the way, those of you that struggle with those things that I mentioned, don't think, uh-oh, he knows about me. Because there's a group of you that struggle with that. And there's a group of you that struggle with this. And there's a group of you that struggle with this. And there's a group of you that struggle with this within these walls. But until we can talk about it with one another, we can't help one another. Until we reveal that about ourselves and feel safe about it, we can't help each other through that. I worked with a lady that was having some financial trouble. She went to the casino trying to fix it. That didn't help. So then she started getting loans. And the bank called us one day and said, "Hey, kind of weird. We got a bag here from your work. There's no money in it. But there's a casino ticket inside the bag where the money usually is." Lady said, "No, I don't know. I took it to the bank. I put that deposit in." Yeah, the camera show her putting that bag in there. A little thinner than we remembered it being. Loss prevention came, talked to her, said, "Man, she isn't saying anything." I said, "You mind if I talk to her and tell me what I can and can't say? You can say anything." I said, "Look, we've got this ticket. We've got this bag. There's no money. You've got a problem." They said, "Can we look at your car?" She said, "Yeah." So I said, "Adam, come look through a car with me." We had approval to do that. Anyone that has 6 business cards from loan places, has literature from Gamblers Anonymous, they probably have a problem when you find that in their car. And I said, "When we pull up the videotape on the casino, we're going to see you walking through the door, aren't we?" She said, "Yeah, probably." And I said, "And with all this, you've got a problem, don't you?" She said, "No, I'm okay." I said, "Look, I'm brand new. I don't know you well. But let's just cut to the chase. I don't do BS too well. Be honest with me, and I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to help you. Oh, that was all it took. She broke down, cried, admitted everything, and paid it back. People are struggling with these things. They're struggling with these real struggles that we go through. And again, it's not one or two of you. There's groups of you struggling with these different things. Some of us have not crossed the Jordan yet. We're in the Jordan. We're here. Man, we're here in the presence of God. But we haven't crossed over. And God says, until you cross over, that's where the safety is. That's where I am. That's when I will be with you wholly and completely. Verse 10, but when you cross over the Jordan and dwell in the land, when you cross over and dwell in the land, and we haven't crossed over. We talked a couple months back about our feet dangling in the water. We think, this feels refreshing. This is great, and it is refreshing. But you can't have that healing when your toes are dangling in there and when you're not dwelling there. Dwelling means being here. You don't dwell someplace by showing up every other month. You don't dwell someplace. You don't dwell in a winter retreat by going there once a year for the winter. You may dwell for a week there, but that's not your dwelling place. You cannot get to the other side. You're walking along. You cannot get to the other side without crossing over. I said a couple weeks ago, we talked about believing in Jesus and calling on His name when we came back from Falls Creek. By the way, young people, don't lose that excitement that you had at Falls Creek. Don't lose that passion that you had there. Some of you, it was life-changing. And some of you you see the promised land, but you still need to cross over as well. I said a couple weeks ago when we talked about that, believing is not enough. A couple of you heard that and said, what do you mean by that? I mean, it's just not enough to say, I believe, I called on Jesus, now I shall sit back and take rest like Adam did at Six Flags on the park bench. You have to get out and do things. So what does it look like when we cross over? We reflect the love of God towards one another. When we see Andrew, we see Jesus in Andrew. When we see Mark, we see Jesus in Mark. When we see Donnie, we see Jesus and Donnie. And we say, I've said God has brought these sheep into this church over the years. And God says, man, let me just see how you treat the sheep that you have. Because the last thing I want to do is open the gate and let some more sheep come in if you're not taking care of the sheep you have. I'm going to close with this in Ephesians. What does it look like when we cross over? We remember where we came from as well. Ephesians chapter 2, you don't have to turn there, but you can if you want. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 13. And it's a little lengthy, but it's powerful. It says, and you He made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. That sounds like just what Jesus told us not to come worship this way. Don't come the way you are today, doing what you want. Verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, thank God for that, literally, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. For by grace you have been saved. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Remember that, not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And then verse 11 through 13, bringing it all together. Therefore, remember that you once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ. Remember when you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Can you imagine friends and relatives not knowing that and having no hope? Young people, when you go back to school, you have a responsibility to make sure your friends know about Jesus Christ. When we go to work tomorrow, God wants us to tell our co-workers about Jesus Christ. Verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Amen? All these things that we deal with, God says, man, come to this place and worship. The difference between a great piece of architecture and a house of God is what happens inside it. Let us not sit idle. Let us not be caught sleeping or half awake hitting the snooze button. We've got to get into this. We've got to get into this and learn where the books of the Bible are and what they mean and what they represent for us. And we have to be able to identify out there in the world false teachers. And we can only do that when we know this and say, I don't think that lines up with God's Word. Listen, church, we need to be honest with each other. We need to be able to say, I've got some things I need to work on. Maybe one thing at a time. It may be a whole laundry list. I don't know. But I know the things that I mentioned, more than one are struggling with it. Oh, and it goes on from there. Marriages struggling. Pornography. Addictions to different things. Lying. Whether it's adults or younger people. Stealing. What? What? I'm just telling you guys. Until we can be honest and help each other out. Until we can lift one another up and say, hey, I've been there, or I haven't been there, but man, let me pray for you. Until we can be honest and just say, if you need prayer, raise your hand, and just raise our hand and say, I need prayer. We can't forget those that aren't in our circle. And our circle could be a group of two or three, or a group of five or ten, or the youth group or whatever, or an adult Bible study. We can't forget those that are not in that or don't understand that. You see, when the sheep come in here, we need to feed them. Let's go to the Lord in prayer today. Heavenly Father, we just thank You for the work. We thank You for the work of Jesus on the cross. We thank you for taking our sin, being our sacrifice, being our connection to God. But for some of us, the time has come to cross the Jordan. The time has come to get out of playing church, if you will. The time has come just to be real and honest with each other so we can help each other out. God, today, those that have idols, would you just be with them and help remove them from their lives? The cell phones, the computers, the television, the video games, the hobbies that may pull us away from you. Lord, not that any of those alone are bad, unless they become our idols. God, today we just want to pray over those that just need some prayer right now. While we're praying, if you would, just continue to bow your heads. I'm not going to ask anyone to come up front right now unless you just feel called to do that. But if you just need prayer today, would you raise your hand so that we can just pray over you? And you can let us know. And if you'll get those up a little higher so I can see. Lord, we want to lift up those that raise their hand. Lord, we know that there's many other struggles going on in this church body. Lord, we ask you to raise us up to be different people. Raise us up out of our sleep. Father, just pull our hand away from the snooze button. When we hear your call, we just stand to our feet. With our hands raised high to you. Lord, can we come to church each Sunday just expecting something great from you? And expect that throughout the week wherever we are. Lord, for those going through medical issues right now and preparing for different surgeries, procedures, operations, Lord, would you be with them and just give them comfort and peace and already be working healing in their body? Lord, for the lonely today, would you just comfort them? Would you comfort the lonely today? And as we close today, would you just help us, if we're on the other side of the river, to cross over into your safety, into your rest that you promise? I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.